bet 100 on myself. I've been all alone, ain't never need nobody else. I'm at the top floor, sipping margaritas off the shelf. Wish I had some competition, but it ain't nobody low.
God, I love having the mic. Hello, everybody. It's Mike. In case you missed it, here are some of the best conversations we've had on Props and Drops this year. Oh, and FYI, I'm still not on video.
It's similar, and you see it a little bit with Web3 right now. Like the Web3 crew that was like here a year ago today, some of them have gotten a little quote unquote more internet famous. They're not mainstream famous, but like they're all in shock. And I'm pumped for them because I'm like, oh my God, this was 05, 06, 07, 08 when LeVar Burton went on Twitter, we all lost our mind. When MC Hammer went on Twitter, we lost our mind. And you were really, really not only like, let me just sign up for this. As soon as you just said my background, I was like, makes so much sense. Because back then, and even now in Web3, you have celebrities coming in and doing projects for 5 seconds as a money grab. And then you have a small percentage of people who have other fame or relevance in other places who are genuinely about the technology, who are in it, like actually in it. I see more of those in Web3 than I did in Web2, which is why I wanted to jump in and give a shout out to you because you really, first of all, another thing about it was you were really at an apex on the music side. It wasn't like, you know, like you were on the come up or maybe on the come down. You guys were in your spot in popular culture and you were really in that Web2 thing. And so that's that. I mean, you really did it. And I think-
appreciate that, man. Thank you.
I watched it from afar and I thought it was cool. And I was like, okay. And I'm glad you're jamming in this space.
Yeah, man. I big shout out to you as well, because when we one of the early trips that I took up to San Francisco and was like meeting people, like meeting like Kevin and like Tim Ferriss, handful of other, Chris Sacca.
Yep.
Like whenever your name came up, they're like, oh yeah, Gary, you got to meet Gary. Gary's the best. Like Gary knows everybody. Gary knows everything that's going on. He's like a fortune teller. He just knows.
Thank you.
And that was like, yeah, I feel like seeing some of that, like I got experiences through some of those folks and others where I just, as a creative person, like I've always used technology to make my stuff. Like technology is intertwined with making music. It's intertwined with making art. Like I literally couldn't do the visual art that I wanted to do unless I was good at, you know, Photoshop, Illustrator. I played around with 3D CG stuff. I was terrible at that. And kind of like it helped me open new doors to like ways to like express myself and ways to almost like take the fans on a ride. Like I do give them unexpected twists and turns that they could enjoy. And so this Web3 space, NFTs and stuff, it's like, that's the thing that I'm most excited about, is to all of this huge new toolbox opens up and it's like, you can do so many interesting things with it. If you're creative, I mean, you could do interesting things with it, copying other people too.
Sure.
But, yeah, I just think there's room. I think there's a lot of room for.
Did you the same thing you saw back in Web 2? Did you sense that with this whole thing? Like, does the pattern recognition kicked in?
Yeah, for sure, 100%. I mean, like as soon as people started saying Web 3, I was like, oh, that's what it is. Like that, it was like the feeling was there, but it didn't have a name. And then when that name, I think that's the reason so many people gravitated towards that phrase.
Makes sense.
Because it's familiar. There's a familiar. It's not familiar in like what the roadmap is, like what the like landmarks are. Sometimes there are. Like, here's the thing that I noticed that people, one thing that's like starting to happen is you see all the projects, like whether you're talking about World Wide Web 3, the game, like by Web Emotional, who goes by hacker.eth. Mm-hmm. And even like Sandbox, but you see it with CryptoPunks, you see it with toads and stuff like that. Like the lo-fi approach, pixelated lo-fi approach. One thing that I see them doing that I love is going, we grew up on things that we have an emotional connection to. NES, for example, like Super Mario Bros. I have an emotional attachment to that because I was a kid and that was one of the first games I was obsessed with. So when I see this like flat 2D pixelated thing. And then you take that familiar thing and you quickly iterate and take me through the evolution of like almost like the immersive game experience. And you like eject you into the future of it. It's got such a huge potential.
It's the reason I bought Crypto Skulls. Mm. Crypto Skulls, an older project unearths. I click on it at 4 o'clock in the morning because I'm in Book Games, Be Friends land working on some tech issues. And I'm like, oh my God, it's Skeletor in Atari form.
Dude, amazing.
Like it was just like, that's literally what my brain did. This is Skeletor and Atari. I love it. Bye. Like, that's literally
have you seen or heard about Aether Orcs?
Of course.
So Orcs, that's another one where I'm like, that just pushes that like Zelda button. Like 100%. I love it. Every weekend it's like my Saturday and Sunday mornings is I'll like catch up on my Orcs and like, like do my little raids and my little, you can raid and journey for items and characters and stuff. And it's like what I do on the weekends.
Kalish?
Well, I'm thinking of Lord of the Rings now with the Orcs. I see the angle there. I guess I'd love to hear more about your take in general on like the type of impact that you want to make in Web3, like what kind of projects you're finding appealing personally, and what you're spending your time on.
God, I'm in like a big like research and development mode. I've been saying this to like I stream on Twitch, and I've been saying that for a while, and I think the fans are like sick of it, because they're like, how long are you going to research and develop until you give us something? Like, give us some. I did put out like a collection, NFT collection called Ziggurats, which did really well. It's on Tezos. It's I think it's still like, I wanted to do something that was like very music centric.
When did you do that?
So it was a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. It's currently sitting at around 30 Tez floor, nice. Which is super, super solid.
Why'd you pick Tez?
I picked Tez because my fan base, number one, the idea of green NFTs was gonna matter. So that we had to have that. And a bunch of my
What about donating to carbon offsets, which I think is also really,
for me, that's like saying cheating. That's like taking a bunch of Advil and then hitting yourself in the head with a hammer. Like, it's like you're not preventing the thing from happening, you're just like putting a band-aid on it. I'm fine with that if that's what people like. A lot of projects want to release on ETH
for you
and that's right for them.
Yeah, for you this is what's right. I mean,
yeah,
I keep telling all my friends that are like from a food or a medicine or a environment standpoint, like if you want to, like, we have to be more open to not shaming people, because to your point, for you, Tez is right versus Solana or ETH or something else. But you may also buy fashion brands that are fast casual, that, right? And like, or I might be vegan, but not like, it's so like, we've got to get to a place in culture where we're happy when people are trying to be thoughtful in as many places as they can, not looking for the one place where they may be potentially hypocritical to like the most alpha altruistic life. Thoughts?
Yeah, I do so many things. I'm very aware of my carbon footprint, and I do so many things in my regular everyday life to minimize it. Carbon footprint. And when I see somebody online just regurgitating the like, oh, crypto and blockchain in general is bad for the environment, blah, blah, blah. If that's coming from a person who is like literally like never flies on a plane, carpools everywhere, eating like super, you know, doing everything they possibly can for the environment, then great. Like 100%, you can tell me I'm not doing as much. That's fine. But when it's coming from your average person, it's like, please just give me a break. You guys are focusing your attention on the wrong thing. There are so many other ways you can make a better impact. So that's one thing. But the Tezos, the other thing about the Tezos thing was that I had a bunch of fans in my Discord and on my Twitch channel who were already very involved on Tezos. And they were like, check this out. Like, look at all these open source tools that people have made. Look at all this stuff. Look at all these artists, incredible artists on Tezos already. And it's very low barrier to entry. Like, the stakes are low. The buy-in price of being active is low. And I was like, this is a big deal for my fan base because awesome. Most of them are not involved in crypto and NFTs, et cetera. Yeah. And I can get them, I can give them a safe roadmap to like getting involved and experiencing it. The very first thing I did was I went on, I minted something on Hicket Nunk, on Hen, and I made it free. Mm. And I kind of like very quietly told a bunch of them, okay, this thing is now available, you get it for free. So half of them were already involved. They got one, they got a couple, gave some to their friends, whatever. The other half, they literally set up their very first wallet, didn't know what they were doing, got one. And the next thing they knew, it was worth hundreds of dollars. Then it was worth thousands of dollars.
That's awesome.
And they were like,
so happy.
Like, yeah, they some of them cashed out right away and paid their rent, right? Mm-hmm. Other people realized, they're like, oh my God, I've got this thing. It's valuable. Is that like real money valuable? And they couldn't wrap their heads around it. And the next thing was like, okay, so now I can sell it and I can make like, let's say $1,000, but I don't want to. Mm-hmm. And they had that feeling of, oh my God, like I've been making fun of people for having this attachment to JPEGs. All of a sudden now I won't sell this thing, even though I know it's $1,000. Like they had that emotional attachment experience. And that's really like set us on the right course, I think, with ziggurats and my kind of like journey in the space.
When you are such a big superstar like you, not like us schlubs, when you are an iconic global superstar.
One, how do I
get? Let's pick that up, Mila. Just pick that up live.
It's spam. I'm sure it's spam. Like,
I'm Florida. Sure.
It's not spam from Florida. It's
I swear to you.
No, Mila plays it humble, guys. You know who that was? That was Disney offering her $100 million contract for 3 films. This is who Mila is.
Man. Gary, Mila, I miss you. Yes,
I miss you too.
You were saying nice things about me. Continue.
I will. When you're a global icon,
yes,
right, and yes, one of the most diverse, like multi-dimensional talents.
God, I'm loving her. This Herm, all the time.
Herm, I don't know if you've seen Black Swan or have listened to Family Guy or have seen Ted. Mila, in my opinion, no bull. Mila has one of the biggest ranges in all of Hollywood. Why are you laughing, Mila?
Are you upset that he brought up Ted?
No, you know what? I like
okay.
Ted.
Ted is a smash hit.
No, I like Ted. I love Ted. Yeah.
Ted is a smash hit.
Yeah.
Okay, keep going, Gary. Go back.
The mom's thing, I've watched like all of, like, this is one of the most talented superstars in Hollywood. When you go into NFT land, where like characters like Kalish and I are hanging around.
Yeah.
What does somebody from your perch have to think about entering this space? Because for example, mm-hmm. we are now in the mature state of the NFT space. You were an incredibly early mover for somebody that did have your level of platform. Obviously a lot of other people with big platforms have now considered and have come in. Most have come in bullshit. You came in real. But yeah. What's interesting is because so many have come in bullshit, I see a lot of A-list celebrities crippled to launch an NFT project right now. That's most of the information. Whereas 9 months ago, it was like, Gary, tell me how to do this.
Yeah.
Now it's like, I'm scared to do this. I shouldn't do this, right? And I'm like, why? They're like, well, I don't want to do a rug pull. I'm like, well, then don't.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so what's, this is, there's, I mean, I don't know how much time you have. So I don't have social media, right? So I want to backtrack all of this to say, it's not like I'm born and bred on Web2. I don't do socials. It is not who I am. It's just not what I-
You were too famous when Web2 popped off.
I think I was just, I don't know what happened. Honestly, this wasn't-
I know what happened. You were too famous when it popped off.
No, I don't think so. Cause secretly I procure, you know what I mean? Like, I'm all up in it. I just don't do it under my name. So it's not like I'm like-
You're saying you're more nosy, but not a contributor.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I'm super nosy. Like that's how I-
And exactly. not a contributor.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So when all this happened with Stoner Cats, really what happened was we sold Stoner Cats, the money that we were given to make an episode, we physically couldn't. I was like, we're not just broke. We're gonna end up paying out of pocket. We couldn't do it.
This is classic Hollywood, right? Because you guys think everything costs a fortune to make. Whereas I would have thought I could make 93 episodes. I mean it's not a bad thing. Animation is expensive, by the way.
Animation is really expensive. I think that people sometimes lose sight of the cost of animation a minute.
That's fair. To make it at a level that, like, for me, if I made like a bullshitty animation thing by like, you know, you're stuck because you know the standard of the day in and day out of your last 30 years. So that's a subconscious reality that makes it challenging.
Yes. And ours was all hand drawn by Pixar animators. So everything just took time. Everything was just way more. It's very specific. It's very special.
It's high quality, like the shopping that the mayor of Paris did. The mayor of Paris, by the way, is Kalish. There's a very famous meme photo of him having tons of bags the only time he went clothes shopping.
And yes, I still think this is like Hermes of Paris. Yes, exactly. This is when you went to Paris and you were like, I need that Kelly bag. Stoner Cats is the Kelly bag of animation. You know what I mean?
Ooh. Yeah.
By the way, don't quote me on that.
This is where I'm going to get my ass kicked for saying it. Yeah.
St. Bart's, I guess, is part of my territory as the mayor of France. I went there and it's technically part of the territory. I just want everybody to know that.
How was it? Was it lovely?
It was so nice. Okay, especially in February. I'm from Boston, so it's not like it's nice up here.
Oh, so you love Ted. You loved Ted. Everything about Ted, you loved.
Oh, yes. Yeah, 100%. Yes. 100%. My favorite scene is when they're throwing apples off the roof at the runners.
Wait, do you know my thing about living in Boston? So I was there for 3 months, I think it was, whatever the time was.
Sorry about that.
Who, me?
I hate Boston with all my heart.
Oh, okay, wait. So Boston is so violent. Yo, yeah. I have never
seen... bad. Say more bad things.
No, I love Boston. Hold on a second.
Unattractive, violent.
No, Gary. Deluge,
entitled. You know what Boston fans?
I'm going to go to Boston and people are going to be like, Mila! You're going to go to Boston and be like, Geary. Well, no, I'm not doing this.
Because they're entitled. They all think they won championships.
I love Boston. I actually had the best time living in Boston, was my point. But I saw so many fights, just street fights. Like,
I do respect that about Boston. That's my favorite.
Yeah, the Irish bar fighting culture is strong in Boston.
I actually, what's insane is I loved Boston up until they won every championship and every under 30 year old.
Every championship. They didn't win every championship.
Really? Let me educate you, Mila Kunis. While you were being the greatest global superstar, the Bruins, Red Sox, Patriots, and Celtics all won a championship.
Not in 1 year.
Almost 1 year, by the way. Three.
They can hate LA for the same thing. LA's been crushing it.
No, the Kings suck. They got one slipped in there. Like, yes, LA's been hot, but at least LA, like, LA has a, LA, like, Boston had character for not winning. LA's a full of shit.
But that's the same for Chicago. You can say the same for the Bears and the Cubs that, oh, they have character for not winning. And everybody in Chicago be like, character. Like, all they want to do is win. And then all of a sudden the Cubs won and people are like, oh, that sucks. And you're like,
this is all based on sports envy. You are absolutely right.
Yes, that's because you and your little Jets. Sorry.
Right. That's right. You've got me pegged. By the way, I once took Mila to a Jets game with me, Mila, Ashton.
Oh God, I remember. This is a long time ago.
That was the best. That was early in your guys' relationship, right?
That was 10 years ago. That's easily 10 years ago.
The best part of Stoner Cats was because you didn't have social media, everyone just bashed Ashton. That was my favorite part by far.
You know, my first husband. To this day, everyone's like, so tell me about Stoner Cats. You know what? Here, I'll go on a rant for you.
Go ahead.
So I very much did Stoner Cats. Okay. Lisa and I did this. Ashton's like,
listen. Lisa's amazing, by the way. You should tell the world about Lisa.
Lisa Sturbikov's my everything. She's like my Ray Donovan in life. And so she kind of just like, whatever dumb idea I have, I'm like, Lisa. Bless her heart. She's like, oh God. But so we dove into NFTs, built out our company, did the whole thing. Ashton was like, you do you, I'll help you. If you need to make a phone call, I'll tell you, I'll point you in the right direction. And of course I used his voice because he's free and lives in the house. So cut to Stoner Cats comes out. We'll be standing next to each other. I'm wearing a Stoner Cat sweater, okay? I'm wearing the merch. People walk straight to him and are like, so tell me about Stoner Cats. And he's like, no, I don't do anything. It's my wife. And they're like,
you know what that is?
And that's what I get. I
hate that.
All this time in this Web3 NFT.
It's not just Web3. It's society. I mean, if anybody.
It is societal. But this one, I am wearing the stupid merch. Like, I literally have
no idea. I want the merch.
It's coming out. This was like. Okay. you know, we just did it for our own team. But anyways, but the truth is, Ashton keeps going, it's not me. But because I think his socials is what I ended up having.
Yeah, and by the way, listen, to Ashton's credit, and I love this dude so much, like he was such a juggernaut in Web 2. I understand the subconscious bias. There's obviously male-female subconscious, but there's a lot of dynamics there.
Yeah.
But you are dramatically more talented than I am.
No, I'm not. But I'll tell you.
He is brilliant.
I have use of his Rolodex. And so there is a benefit to, you know, that. Like when I'm like, I need a CEO. What, you know, like
Herm, I see you going through notes. Kalish, what questions do you guys have for the incredible Mila Kunis?
I want to hear about the kind of origin story. Like, how'd you come up with the creative concept?
I didn't. It came to us. So we have a regular production company that produces content for film and television. And so we get pitch projects all the time. We had Stoner Cats as a normal, regular TV show that we took out with Jane Fonda at the time. And then we sold it. And then we couldn't make it. And that's when I pivoted everything into what is now considered Web3. But when I pivoted, it was before Web3. Had a category of Web3 and more was like, I was like, how do I utilize the concept of NFTs to associate, like I was just trying to, there was no rules, there was no definition in this community. So I was like, well, can I do A plus B? And AK was like, yeah, okay. So, and you know, then you get 1,000 lawyers to tell you every which way how you can and cannot do it. But the initial concept was just out of desperation.
Love.
Yeah. And then how did you find bringing this concept to market relative to maybe like a more traditional
series, let me tell you that, man. So there's two things you have to remember about the NFT community, right? It's very small, and the crypto community at large is very small. So you're dealing, like, you talk about OpenSea and the people that own NFTs. I'm not sure the exact numbers, but it's under 500,000 individual accounts, right? So that's, and people have multiple accounts at that. So to be generous, let's say that there's 500,000 people consuming NFTs. That's it. So maybe like once Coinbase launches, once all these things happen, it'll become bigger and better and more people will join and all that. But right now it's a very small niche community. So doing press for it was really challenging because you had to, we were trying to like onboard newbies. That was my whole thing, was I was like, how do I bring in, like, I get the people that are like, ride or die crypto, they've been with the NFT community. I was like, that's not that, I can't take them because they were so against everything commercial on face value. You know what I mean? Like ultimately they wanted it, but on face value, they're like, you know what you're doing. And I was like, okay, cool. So I was like, I'm gonna bring in newbies. And so it was explaining how to open up a wallet. Like that's kind of where we started. Like forget doing press for like, watch Stoner Cats. We were like, okay, go to MetaMask. Here's how you open up a wallet. You put in some, you know, ETH into it. Then you go to like connect your wallet. We did a whole idea of tutorials became more of a thing that we did. Cause we were, I think people were just like, what is NFTs? What is Web3? What's a token? How are you not going to steal my money? What's a smart contract? What's a roadmap? Like there are these certain like, you know, words that now are so in the vernacular that everybody says no big deal. But 9-10 months ago, it was like, you had to do a dictionary.
100%.
Yeah. So it was actually really fun, I will say. But we learned a lot.
For me, my strategy and approach, this goes into like all collectibles. It doesn't matter if it's NFTs or cards or whatnot. I mean, even on the card side, you just want to go for things. I go for things that are penetrating culture. Like, and what I was doing in cards, I was diversifying outside of what everyone was buying because I was like, okay, everyone's going hard on these particular sports. What about these other ones? UFC, F1, soccer, tennis. I just was thinking about where people aren't looking or that have a big stake in the, you know, in culture, what people know about. And in NFTs, I think a lot of these projects that just pop up, because there's projects that pop up every day, we take gambles on some of them that we really like, and we see like utility and we see how it services the community. There's also ones that are just like culturally relevant or culturally that have been part of culture, like, you know, the memes, or, you know, I bought the first TikTok NFT. I was like, okay, TikTok's in the game. You know, the first TikTok moment, I have to get that. Like, you know, like that's a moment, you know.
On that Steve got, this was, people had their eye off the ball, I think. And you saw this and you took it. And it was like one of the deals of the year. I don't even know if you said that you have this, but the, if you didn't say you have it, we're cutting it out of the podcast because I'm not trying to reveal this. But the Ohtani of five Red Bowman rookie PSA 10.
Okay, well, so I bought that as a BGS 9.5 from the National. Actually, shout out to Chris Costa, Boston. You know, I know we're from
like a power broker behind the scenes, man. He has like
he really helped out. So, got that for 85K. Try to like, you know, bring it down to 80. But anyways, 85K for a 9.5.
Steve's still upset about that 5K.
No, I'm a pretty tough negotiator. I definitely go in like, you know.
It's like the sport.
Yeah, it is. It's fun.
I get murdered for that in garage sales on TikTok.
Yeah, you know. I brought a bunch to PSA and they're really tough on crossing. I saw ones that are like quad 9.5s. I mean, you know, 3.95s. I'm like, these got to cross. None of them cross except for the Ohtani. I was like, that's the most important one. Thank God this one crossed. I mean, a PSA 10 of that was just, you know, but that's never leaving my collection. Those are kinds of things that just, I just love that the value just keeps going up.
Everyone's paying attention to the NFT boom. And
I bought more.
Baseball is probably like on the lowest end of every, it's like NBA and football. And then you just slide
I bought a LeBron Chrome refractor a couple weeks ago because right now I'm like, ooh, I need to hit cards right now. I'm actually starting the process this holiday of like, I'm going to buy 5 to 15 serious comics too.
Yeah.
Just like while everyone's paying attention to certain things, you want to yin and yang.
Yeah. I did one thing, which was I got a sealed playoff contenders, 2000 bucks. The one with the Brady rookie, like the, if you get lucky, Tom. It's like a 7-figure Gary's favorite. Yeah. I should actually give. Yeah. Gary, you know,
no.
We should work something out. You might get the Brady rookie.
I
don't want
You know, I bought that box too earlier this year.
Did you open it or you're holding it?
I opened it. I couldn't help myself. It's a tough one. There's no other cards of value. It's just that one. It's like zero or 100. It's so, it's like, oh my God, please, please, please. Like you just like cross your fingers because there's nothing else in there.
Yeah.
But you get it. Wow. What a hit, you know? Like that's what you want.
Yeah, it's like of 100, I think. And we think there's like 12 of them unopened or something. So it's like not a ton, but there's some out there.
Willy Wonka.
Yeah, it's a tough pull, but if you get it, you're just 7 figures.
I think it's that moment. You'll never forget that moment because it's so hard. Like you do it for that, you know? Because if you get it, like you'll never give it up.
Clearly a lot to run down in the world of drops. Here's a few important topics to remember from past Props and Drops episodes.
And right now people are buying squirrels with cigars in them, launched by anonymous influencers. And like, I mean, every day I'm getting friends and acquaintances and light touch friends and acquaintances that are fancy, have juice and culture and business and the world. Every day, 13 DMs. Every day, 13 to 25 DMs from friends that have juice saying, hey, Gary, I'd love for you to buy this. I'm associated with it. Because they're getting a bag from founders and they have a relationship with me and they're trying to get me into the project because they think that that will juice it. And I can't do that because it's going to ruin my reputation. I can only buy what I believe in.
Yeah. Everyone's thinking the same thing. Light touch friend versus acquaintance. What is the difference? Go.
A light touch friend is a light, slightly elevated version of an acquaintance.
Hmm. So like, you have no, do you know who these people are if they walk past you on the street?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And if I saw them in the street, I would interact with them like a best friend, by the way, because I love people. But if I'm like truly like saying like where it's at, these are all people, anybody I talk to, and you've gotten to know me, both of you, is completely in the pocket to become my best friend. It's just a serendipity of how much interaction you get with them. So when I say an acquaintance or light touch friend, I when I meet people, I go through a very quick kind of radar, which is, do I think they're nice? And if I think they're nice, truly, if I think they're nice, I'm willing to go pretty far into like friendship. You know, I would call friend, like a, such a powerful thing. You are my friend, for real. If they're nice and they have common interests, well, I'm like, oh, this could become like a best, like a really good friend, right? But like, when I say light touch friend or acquaintance, those are all people that I'm excited and wishful to have deeper relationships with, but the serendipity of where we live, how busy we are, what's going on, hasn't given us the meaningful time to take it to the next level. I'm empathetic for everybody reaching out. I'm just incredibly incapable of supporting these projects because my reputation is everything to me.
Yeah. It's even to the, I kind of figured out more in the last couple of months about like where I want to play in this space, which is, I guess the way I would describe it is irreverence. Like, when people come at you with these high expectations, they think that there's going to be, you know, easy financial gain. They think that everyone else is going to be responsible for pumping their bags and their decisions. They buy something and then they're coming at the developer, the community, they're on Twitter shilling it. This serious kind of like expectation set around. That's like the absolute opposite of what I love about the space. What I love about the space is the, you know, you take a shot on something, you buy something you like, there's optimism, there's positivity. I bought it because I bought it. It's my responsibility to make that decision. Whatever happens after that, if I hold it, buy it, sell it, buy more, sell it, that's my decision to make. But I don't hold anyone else responsible for pumping my NFT bag.
The lack of accountability is absurd.
Yeah, I think there's an utter like lack of self-accountability in a lot of different pockets, where I realize that's just not the space that I ever want to play in. Where I do want to play though is the word irreverence, like really stands out to me. It's the, some of these NFTs are very valuable. It's art that is, you know, there's lots of demand. People think that they're, you know, potentially, you know, the A-list projects that could live on for decades and whatever, but having a lightheartedness about it, you know, to me is the pocket, the positive vibes, positive energy in those pockets. That's where I felt the most comfortable and at home. So I've even learned that. And I don't think we would have learned that if there wasn't some up and down in the value of some projects and some headwinds on some things. Like, you wouldn't learn what pockets really connect the most with you. But to me, that's just like what I've learned from the last several months.
Is, I like that.
Individual responsibility. Go into things. If you're going to be upset if your project goes down, like, you're doing it wrong.
100%.
And really innovative structure to the project as well, that really taps into what you've been spending the last several years on, but also, you know, this new technology around NFTs and, you know, burning them and creating this like real life hybrid between physical and NFT art. So wanted to get the story of how that project originated. Like, you're really one of the first, you know, from, I don't know what I used to call it the real art world, yeah. But now I think it's, you know, digital art blending. Is so credible.
Snobby
now.
Elitist art world.
Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't ever going to say that.
Yeah. Like real, like my fancy friends had Tom's art physically in their homes world.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And so back when people used to say like anything digital art, I can right click and save and that's mine. Like when that's the thinking, then you're the real art. The physical art is the real art world, but you crossed it over early in the game. So one of the first projects. So would love to just hear how you got into it that quickly and the origin of the project idea.
Muhammad Ali said, it ain't bragging if you can back it up. And ours is the essential crossover project. I've been making physical art for 30 years, and this is the defining project that blends the new way of making art in this metaverse and physical space. So every time you assemble one of my rockets in the metaverse or as the NFT, that's a nose cone, a body, and a tail. Those three separate NFTs get comburned. That's a technology that we developed where you burn those three and create one rocket. You select launch. When you select launch, I physically make a model of that rocket and launch it in space. In fact, tomorrow we're launching 75 of them at Flamingo Park Baseball Stadium between so awesome. 1 and 5. Doors open at 12. We're going to start. First launch is at 1, and at 5 o'clock we're launching Dawn of Man, which is a one-of-one Miami Vice rocket that will be the result of the Christie's X OpenSea first ever on-chain auction. And we're leading that too. And I think there's no coincidence that we're leading in both fields. So obviously bid on that if you want to get a one-of-one Miami Vice rocket. And at 5:01, we're going to launch that rocket.
Is that a different Miami Vice rocket than the one that's part of the core project? Or
no,
that was one of the one-of-ones, right?
It's part of the core.
Understood.
It's from my vault.
You did five, and, yeah. You did five one-of-ones, remind me?
Yeah.
I think so, right?
Yeah, so Miami Coke, Vice. Yoda, Apple, Purple.
You had an Apple piece.
I still have an Apple piece. I have the Apple body.
You have the Apple body?
Yeah.
And that was...
And I know the person who has the other two, and I feel like we should get together and figure it
definitely
out.
Definitely not. Yeah. You should have a standstill.
Or we could, or I could just...
No,
like,
no, one of you have to blink.
With Skippy
somebody, he either
nose,
sells
two
to you.
Totally
I'm going to buy one
yeah.
from him.
It's
I want
like
to be
butter
in the
apple,
three-way.
You know?
I want to be
my
in the
kids
three-way
buy the other
scale.
Apples.
Herm, you're not buying shit.
I think that's what I love about this project. It's not up to me. It's up to you and the community and what you guys decide. And that's the... That's what makes it a community project. I mean, I'm always looking at three things. How it looks, you know, design, utility, how it works, and community, what it means. And, like, that conversation that you're going to have with your friend about peanut butter and apple and all the pissed off people. Like, I love that. That's human interaction. And, of course, the launch. So you're all invited. You're invited, too, to come to the launch. We've got a hot dog truck, shaved ice.
You have mustard?
We have mustard.
Sauerkraut. I'm listening. I'm.
Oh, yeah, you know,
you
it's Miami because, like,
yeah,
I.
Let's talk about. Let's get the four of us
a,
right now.
That's a good point.
What are you, Herm?
Ketchup.
Pure ketchup.
Just ketchup.
The worst way. The worst way. All right, Tom, you?
It depends.
But push comes to shove, island, one hot dog. Where do you go?
All right, my perfect hot dog doesn't exist because my new favorite hot dog is the Shake Shack hot dog, if you have it, but they don't have sauerkraut there. And so as a result, I don't do. My regular go-to subbread is sauerkraut mustard, but they don't have that.
Because you're fucking G.
Yeah. And
fucking plain
but
ketchup.
But at Shake Shack, I'll just do ketchup because it's a different profile.
I understand.
Thanks, Tom.
Kalish?
I guess my question is, like, have you ever tried a Chicago-style hot dog?
Yes, I have. And at the first Shake Shack... And,
used to have it.
They used to have it, and they don't have that anymore. And that was really cool. I only had it a few times. It's not like my go-to. I think I've only had two or three in my life, so I'm kind of open to that. It also depends on the practitioner. It's so diverse
here.
In all the materials, like how you lay out the peppers,
Gary,
change everything.
Let's
on
not
that.
Get into the nuances, Kalash. I don't know why I called you Kalash. Kalish, core hot dog. Don't give me some exotic shit. Like a core, everyone knows the rules of hot dog talk. What is your core hot dog?
I mean, core, yes. Being from Boston, would be like a Fenway hot dog with mustard.
Okay, so you're just mustard.
Yo, just mustard.
What are you? Everyone wants to know.
I'm sauerkraut and mustard.
Yeah. No onions?
Yeah. I love onions on it, but if I'm going core, like push come, like what's the most often thing I do? Because a lot of, I mean, I love chili. Love a chili dog. But really, I find people that eat hot dogs with just ketchup. No, really, Herm, I believe this. I never thought that was going to be your answer. I'm actually stunned by
Keep
this.
Keep going. Keep going.
Are just not winning players. That's
I have this visual of you slamming corn dogs on a stick.
I love a corn dog.
All right, can we go? So, Tom, my only role here is kind of I'm the voice of the people. So back to
what?
So back to back to your 75 rocket launches.
What people?
Are you? Because so everyone listening, there's 75. They're going into space. Are you how many of them are going to go as planned and how many of those are going to just go up and then like hook it left and then go, oh my God, that's not space.
Well, it's definitely not going to space. Have you seen the launches? It doesn't go that high.
You know what I mean?
You're the man of the people. I don't know what you mean.
We're a Six Sigma rocket factory, which means that we really aim to deliver a 100% recovery.
So you think 75 out of 75 will land?
We'll get them back. We got the space. We got the team. We got incredible ground support.
Wow.
We are going to get them all back. I'm determined.
And then they go into a glass box and the person takes it, right?
Well, so after you select launch, we launch it and you have to choose. We either send it to you in a glass box.
Which I love.
you can donate to the museum, and the
which
first 100 are going to a major international art museum as one big cabinet.
And when you donate it, do you get it back after it's on display, or no, it's always there?
It's permanent, and with your name, the minter
it's
on the
donation.
Plaque,
the
on the thing.
And you, I know what a donation
or,
is.
Apparently not.
You need to be very careful. Go ahead.
Or you can opt to have it shredded. And 10% of the people are having their rockets shredded. Rockets that I painstakingly painted by hand over many, many hours by hand. People
Tom,
are
you do
to
all
shred.
These? It's just you.
No, I have a team.
Okay.
But we're a teaching hospital.
But you're the
hospital.
Santa.
I'm the chief surgeon in the teaching hospital.
Santa. Yeah. So one of the things, this is probably what made me buy lots instead of a couple, was the marketing video or the the explanation video on your site of how it works. And Herm obviously didn't watch it because the rocket gets stuck in a tree and then Tom and team fly a drone with scissors up to it's like a string and they break the tree branch it's stuck in with the drone to recover the rocket.
Yeah,
and so serious. If you saw that video, you would know that they never lose a rocket.
We get them back. One of our partners, Robin Buchholz, dove into the Seine naked in Paris to recover a rocket.
Why naked, Tom?
Because he didn't bring a towel and he wanted his clothes to be dry when he got out.
No boxers?
Some people aren't scared, Herm.
The body's a beautiful thing. This is like American puritanical values. I mean, he wanted dry pants. He had to have a couple of whiskeys after just to
principles.
Yeah.
It just works different in France, you know?
That's true.
Be able to just jump
France
in.
France is the one place you'll see a photo of Kalish with tons of shopping bags.
Yeah. I'm like the mayor of France. If you ever saw the picture, the first time I ever went to
Kalish
France.
Kalish has gone in 11 episodes from very calm to I'm the Drake of the Celtics. I affect NBA games. And oh, by the way, if that wasn't enough in one episode, I'm the mayor of France. Here's the best part of France, not Paris, of France. Here's the best part. Watch this one. Kalish, how many times have you been to France?
One time.
I knew it. Anyway, Herm, please help us here.
The reason I'm the mayor of France is literally it just comes down to there's one picture of me that exists in France where I look like I'm probably in charge of France.
Are usually city
I'll show
oriented.
You the picture and you'll it. Agree it's a good picture. And a little embellished, maybe.
The first person I heard talking about utility and NFT was you, Gary, and mentioning, you know, how you were going to start tying some of the stuff you were doing in real world events and all that stuff to your initial drop of eFriends. I think it was a very insightful moment. And it's certainly a model that, you know, we do as well, where we tie utility and both online and offline utility to the NFTs that we offer to out to all the collectors.
Kalish, any questions?
Yeah, the utility topic, it's almost, I've noticed you've become kind of synonymous with this movement, each of you really, but the latest podcast since Moonbirds, I'm seeing more and more, you know, Kevin associated with kind of future of NFT utility and what's next. What are some of the main points that you see when you look next year or two in the future, like how the space evolves with utility?
Yeah, I mean, I think that one of the very important things to hear to remember is how early we are in the terms of all things NFTs and how few people are actually into it. So, you know, if you add up the top 10 projects out there, we're talking like in the hundreds of thousands of, I mean, maybe 100,000 unique actual collectors of these. So we're just now beginning and the tooling is still really difficult in terms of people being able to onboard and get into these things and figure out MetaMask. And I mean, I remember Gary putting out like, videos on how to use MetaMask back before you launched vFriends. You're like, this is how you get your first crypto, you know, because you had to do the education and you still do.
You should have seen her. He was a mess.
I just couldn't figure it out.
Here it comes.
So, you know, I think of what, when I think of the utility as it applies to what we're doing, a lot of it has to be with bringing a lot of what we built in Web 2 on the social side and applying it to Web 3. Making this more about real deeper connections and the ways that people can get together both online and off and share this experience and the appreciation. Like we've always been more on the art side of things, what we've done with the Proof Collective. So it's about the appreciation of art and not about talking about flipping or floor price or any of that stuff. And so what you see, like today, for example, we announced that all of our, there's a very famous kind of skeleton type artist out there that is like this kind of glitchy kind of skeleton type vibe, who actually had an earlier project collaboration we did called Grails. He announced that he was doing an airdrop to all of our skeleton attribute Moonbirds. And so that's an example of working with an existing well-known artist to do additional. His name is What Is Real. Mm-hmm. And he basically did a drop to all of our skeleton Moonbirds. It's an example of how we're leveraging our connections. You have a skeleton. Yeah, that's right. You did.
I have a skeleton gremlin.
Yeah. So yeah, you got some good stuff coming.
Winning.
Yeah. That's going to be awesome. But
I'm doing a utility too, which is I'm punching every candid clownfish holder in the face.
Kevin, I have a.
And some people candid, love that.
It's true. Some people do, but you can't judge that. I have a candid clownfish diamond, which I'm really proud of. I know you're impressed. And the V2 of the candid clownfish diamond is Gary's way of saying F you, Herm. He made the candid clownfish just this like, I mean, it kind of looks like me. Just this like fat dude.
No, it's not true.
Look at that bod of this guy.
Cute guy. Look at those eyes.
It's very
Nemo. Yeah.
It's pleasantly plump is what you call that, I believe.
Yes, yeah. I the clownfish looks full.
Yeah. Full. I mean, he's definitely been eating well. Yeah.
I think that this is all going to come down to the operators. And I think people are missing the mark. I'm brain vomit, creatures. Those are two projects where I was like, this artist is in it till the end.
Right.
And so I'm like, cool. Like Danny Cole can get famous when he's 62. He doesn't have another gear like me as an entrepreneur. Like when entrepreneurship's not cool and the kids on TikTok don't think I'm cool anymore. Like I don't have another gear. It's not like I'm going to be able to become a corporate lawyer, or a retired surfer. Like I don't have any other gear. So I'm looking for people that don't have any other gears as either an operator or as an artist.
Yeah, that's absolutely fair. And I think something that since it's such a new space, as we're all aware of, is that to build an operation takes time as well. A few dedicated individuals, I think, can move agile nimbly the same way as any startup when it's 3 people up to 70 people, 700 people, whatever it may be. And I think it just takes a bit more time for some of these operators to get their legs under them and the systems under them to really
the problem is the supply and demand is going to eat them up.
Yeah.
When
you go mass market.
Yeah. Just there's an 8 trillion market. Like to your point, merit wins in the end, but you know, getting your sea legs under you is 4 years, not 4 weeks.
It's true.
And so like, if you came in because you saw it early, you were an artist entrepreneur, but you were a C-minus artist, an entrepreneur, but you got in 6 months ago, you might've made a bag. If you're a C-minus, you're a C-minus. Even if you can get to an A, it's gonna take, C-minus to an A is gonna take 5 years. And like, will the market be there for you?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I think it's gonna be the responsibility of some of the operators in the space, in the spirit of Web3 and how this whole space got started, to empower and bring up that artist. I know it's something that you've championed, Gary, and we've talked about Matt as well, is how can, I mean, the big guys, the bigger companies start to integrate them and bring them into the fold in a lot of meaningful ways. I know it's powerful. They can kind of bootstrap a business and get started right on the blockchain on OpenSea selling things. But I do think at a certain point, the volume and microphone that these big corporations and names have need to respect these artists and bring them in. So that's something that, and it's called almost chapter 2 of Autograph, we're really, really going to focus on in some meaningful ways with projects. Going to get excited about things we got going on with NBA players, some people in the world of boxing, UFC, definitely trying to bring in some more people that could use the exposure and still create an ultimately incredible result for our end user.
Okay, let's
whoever owns it.
We do like it. I think a bunch of good points. The fractionalization, I think, is an exceptional point. I don't think people are expecting that tailwind at scale, at least yet. I think my diamond patient panda would be like the perfect thing. I get people all the time on Twitter. They're just like, that's the one NFT I wish I had, you know? So the idea of being able to have just some stake in something you really love, you know, I think that's huge.